Welcome to the King's Church podcast. We are an ACC church based on the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. We'd love for you to join us on any given Sunday. In the meantime, we hope this message blesses you.
If you've got your Bibles today, would you open them up to John 11, John 11:33. Thank you, whoever did that. Well, my name's Daniel Bates and I'm from Melbourne, from Planet Shakers Church. I've been going there for the last 6 years and been an evangelist, travelling for the last 5 or so years, minus 2.5, not by choice, but the government made me, all of us, stop for a little bit. But if you got, who's got it? Who's, just let me know. You got it? John 11. Thank you for that hand up the back. John 11, 33. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have also kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he's been dead 4 days." Somebody say 4 days. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Come on, is anybody here today still want to see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you. I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this today, that they may believe that you sent me." Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Well, I don't know about you, but that gets me excited every time I read it. It's something about, come on, who believes that? It's something about the word of God that it doesn't matter what situation you're in, what circumstance you've been in, what chains you've been wrapped in. When you read that word, it is life-bringing. Come on, it's a lamp unto my feet. It's a sword unto my path. It is giving. It is gift-giving. It is favor. It is blessing. Come on, who loves the word of God this morning? And so it starts here, and I want to give you 6 keys today. Title of my message is called "Speak to the Mountain." I really believe that this is a lost art. We know how to pray. We know how to communicate to God. We know how to have a conversation with him. We know how to say grace or give thanks for our meal. But when it comes to speaking to the mountain, I really believe that this is a lost art form in the church. And if we're going to see a revival, it's not necessarily just cars and people and lines around the block, but it's a revival in here. It's a revival of faith. And I really believe God wants to stir you this morning to ignite that flame again. Come on, to see the harvest, to speak to the mountain again. Hallelujah. Verse 33 says here, "Therefore, when he saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." You know, I find it so interesting that Jesus knew about this situation. He knew about the circumstance. He knew about what was happening with Lazarus at this time. He knew he was sick and he still waited. He knew that he was unwell and he still delayed. He knew that he had died even and he still waits. He doesn't just wait 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. No, he waits 4. In Jewish customs, once it's 3 days, you're proper dead. Once it goes past that, you're into 4. You stinketh. You begin to decompose. You start rotting. He knew of his situation, but yet he didn't turn up. He waited. I don't know what you're going through today, But some of us believe that God's given up on us. He's forgotten about me. Oh, I know he'll heal this person. He'll heal the Karen. He'll heal the Susan. He'll heal somebody else, but not me. He'll do anything but heal me. I'm still waiting. I've been waiting 40 years, 30 years, 20 years. Some of us have been waiting so long, we forgot that we were even believing for anything. I'm here today to tell you, come on, don't stop. Don't give up. Just because it's been delayed doesn't mean it's been denied, that God still believes in you. He hasn't given up on you. His miracles are still here for you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, do I have a witness this morning? Does anybody believe? He hasn't given up on you. Don't give up on him. It says that he was troubled by his circumstances that he found himself in. I notice it doesn't say that he was troubled in his heart or in his mind. No, it says the spirit. The spirit. Do you know you can quench the spirit of God this morning? That you can stop a move of God by your attitude. You can stop a move of God by your posture.
I don't want to be here today.
You know, that you can stop a very move of God by the way you act, your response today. You know what? You can change the very atmosphere. You can make it conductive or conducive for miracles this morning by your attitude. Don't quench the spirit this morning. See, I really believe this. We want to move mountains. We've got to have faith. You've got to have faith this morning. And I believe faith starts where death begins. Once something has died in your life, once there's been a trauma or a sickness or a disease, that's when you need faith. Not when the world's great. Not when everything's working for you. You need faith. Come on, when everything stops. Luke 8, 18 verse 8 says, yeah, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. But when the Son of Man returns, will he find anybody on earth who has it all together? Who's got their life all sorted? No? Will I find anyone on earth who drives, an AMG, who has seven figures in their bank account? Nothing wrong with these things. A mansion house on one of the canals. Maybe I'm just trying to manifest what I want. But 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms. I don't know. I'm just trying to put it out there, Lord. And no, it says when the Son of Man returns, and come on, we know he's coming back, right? Will he find somebody on earth with faith? And this isn't just faith of a mindset. Yes, I believe in the Lord. Yes, I believe in the word. No, because if you look at the story, it's about the persistent widow. He's looking for somebody who has faith that will never give up. No matter what the oppression, no matter what the circumstance, no matter how much is weighed up against them, will they still persist? Will they still believe? Come on, somebody. Do I have anybody that still believes this morning? Come on, we need this faith. You want to move a mountain. Number 2 says here, and he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come see. Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. If you're a young man here today, you're trying to impress a young woman about your Bible wisdom and knowledge. Luke 11, 35. Jesus wept. And if you could lean towards her and then have one tear just run down at the same time, women love that. Jesus wept. So then the Jews said, see how he loved him. You know what I find is interesting about this whole day, or not just the fourth day, third day, maybe this whole week, is that I believe that Lazarus probably wasn't the only person who died on this day. You know, I even think, well, maybe even if we look closely, maybe we can say over this whole entire week that there would have been more than just one person that died. Maybe there was hundreds. Maybe if we look into the city, maybe there was thousands. Maybe if you look across the entire nation, that there was hundreds of thousands, or even if we look at the globe, maybe there was hundreds of thousands of people that died on this week. But yet Jesus doesn't go visit all their tombs. He only goes to one. And do you know why? The Bible actually says this. It says because Jesus and Lazarus were friends. You know what I believe? I believe it matters how close you are to Jesus today. You know what I believe? Your close proximity to Him determines the outcome of your miracle today. It determines the outcome of your blessing, of your favor, come on, of your calling on your life. How close you are to Him today. James 4:8 says, draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. It's not the other way around. He's calling you. Come on. Oftentimes we think, where is God? Why doesn't He just shake me, make me, mold me, do this, do whatever? No, He's waiting for you. Draw near to Him. Do you know that you are a living, breathing measuring stick between heaven and earth? What's the distance today? Come on, it's not God is from a distance. He is as near as you want Him to be. I hope you're getting this morning. Mountains move when you come into close proximity with Him today. It matters. I remember, and I struggle like telling these stories, but I remember when I was, because I'm from Melbourne, right? I get PTSD when I talk about this stuff, but we had the longest lockdown in the world, right? I don't want to brag, but, you know, I think there should be a ceremony or something. 275 days. And the last one, you know what, when we went into this, we all thought, oh, wow, 2 weeks holidays, and it turned into 2.5 years. Just imagine this. My kids, three of them, didn't go to school for almost 3 years. They were at home every single day. We couldn't leave the house. We had curfews. We had military. We had drones going up and down the street. We weren't allowed to leave after 8 or before 5 in the morning. One guy got arrested for putting his garbage out on the side of the street after curfew. It was wild. And here I am, just launched into evangelism full time. Heard the call of God. Left my job, left my salary, left my house, moved to the city, moved out of the country, which they didn't have lockdown, and moved to the city, to the Ring of Steel. Hallelujah. And here I am, the last 75 days. I think my life's over. It was the longest one, 75 days, long haul. I was thinking my life is over. One of my outlets was to go to the gym, and so I decided to build a gym in my garage, and here I am like an idiot doing squats in the garage, crying in between each set. My life's over. God, You've forsaken me. I'm useless. I'm nothing. I'm a global evangelist working from home. And I have this moment where I get this word about, you know, Elijah, and he had to come out of the cave, and so I remember throwing the weights down and open up the roller door as it goes up slowly. I threw the weights down, I walked out, I said, I'm coming out of the cave. Like, I yelled it. Neighbors looked at me funny at 3 p.m. in their dressing gown. And I had this revelation that I need to go back to my first love. If you know my message, my whole message is redig the wells. That's been my whole message throughout my whole ministry. God showed me it's time to redig the wells of prayer over Australia again. Genesis 26, Isaac redug the wells again. And we need to redig that revelation of prayer in our lives, prayer and fasting. And so out of that also I had this revelation of communion, where I would take communion every day. And God remind me, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. So my mum, she worked at this place called The Storehouse in Melbourne, and I knew that she had was handing out food. It was one of the only things you could do in Melbourne was hand out food. And so I said to her, I get this idea. I feel it's from God. I need to call her. So I said, Mum, and I don't know what it's like when you call your mum, but for me, it's like I become a teenager again all straight away. And I said, Mum, you're working at the storehouse. Yeah. Do you have any of those potato sacks? And she says, yeah, we've got potato sacks, but what do you need them for? And I just said, I don't know. Well, you can have one. You just got to tell me what it's for. And I said, I don't know what it's for. It's just for, I just need it. I just need it. She goes, no, you can have them. You just got to tell, I just got to let the boys know. Oh, don't tell the boys. I said, don't tell the boys. They don't need to know. She's like, just what is it? And I said, it's to pray in. And she goes, Now, I'm no seamstress. My last name's not Taylor. And I get these two potato sacks and fashion them into sackcloths. Tore a neck hole, made some sleeves as best as I could. Lit a fire in my backyard. I sat there for 75 days. Took communion every day, crying out to God. Open up the church. Open up the church. It's been shut for 2.5 years. We're not allowed to set foot in there. Open up the church. God, send a revival. I started taking communion every single day. And even at the end, I'd tip some out. I didn't know what I was doing, but I called it a drink offering. I said, Lord, pour it out. Wherever your blood touches, let it touch this earth. Let it touch the globes. Let it touch Australia. Come on, the islands, Asia, all across Europe, Africa, America. Let it touch this globe. I'm out there outside wearing this thing, sitting in the yard covered in ash. And my son walks down and he sees me and he double takes and he yells out, Mom! Kind of like does this moonwalk type thing backwards. Just practicing that. And he goes, Mom, why is Dad wearing a kangaroo? I said, son, it's not a kangaroo. Now, I'm like a third generation Pentecostal preacher, so everything becomes a sermon at home. So I grab him, like, son, I said, it's not a kangaroo, it's a sackcloth. And he's like, okay, he's 9, so. And I said, I'm doing this so you don't have to. And he looks at me, he's like, what? I said, son, I'm doing this today so that one day you won't have to face this giant. So one day, even if you do, guess what? It's wounded. It's crippled. If you face this giant, you know what? Half of its limbs are already off. If you face this mountain, it's already got cracks in it. I'm telling you, come on, church, because what you don't face and fight today, your children will face and fight tomorrow. Some of us here woken up one day facing oppression, facing anger, facing depression, anxiety, fear. It's not your fault. It was passed down. It was given. Isn't it interesting? Even if you go to the doctor, the first thing he asks is, does your dad have it? He doesn't even have to do a test, pinprick, a blood test, nothing. He just knows. He just knows. It's the same in the spirit. You get passed things down because what walks in parents runs in children. And today, I'm telling you, it's time to move those generational mountains. You can do it today. You can change the course of history for your family forever just by one word, just by speaking to the mountain. Are we doing all right today? Verse 37, and some of them said, Could not this man who opened up the eyes of the blind have also kept this man from dying? You know what? There's always going to be critics in your life. Then Jesus, again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and the stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. The King James says, he stinketh, Lord. When was the last time you checked your stinketh? Come on, when was the last time you checked your fragrance? Someone at the back just went like, I'm not talking about that. It's interesting to me though, how many people walk around this earth not knowing that they carry a smell, not knowing that they carry a fragrance. You know, fear has a smell. Even animals can smell it. Did you know that? When was the last time? You know what Corinthians says, 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. You know what? This is life and death. Psalm 141 says your prayers are like incense. What's incense? It's a fragrance. Did you know that you carry a fragrance today? When was the last time you stepped into this world? Come on, you want to move mountains? You want to see lives changed, people saved? Check your odor today, amen? Number four, verse 40 says here, Jesus said to her, did I not say that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And Martha, she gives an answer that's theologically correct, an answer that probably 99% of us would give today. Same answer. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe that we will be raised up. Yes, Lord, I believe that on the last day we'll be raised up, we'll be seated in heavenly places. Yes, Lord, I believe in the resurrection. We'll all be there. We'll become a great, part of the great cloud of witnesses. I believe. Nothing wrong with that answer. But is it the answer Jesus is looking for today? No. See, because like Martha, we too have faith for things in the future. We also have faith for things in the past. Yes, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he gave his life, and on the third day, he rose from the grave, forgiving all sins. I have faith that I've been forgiven. I have faith in the past. I also, like Martha, have faith for the future. I believe that in the future, one day I'll die, but I'll live forever in heaven. I'll be seated in heavenly places. I'll be worshiping and praising God in heaven forever. I have faith for the past, faith for the future, but no faith for the present. And we live in this place of limbo, this pendulum of one day, I hope, one day, Lord, please, would you just come and rescue me? Would you just come and take the pain away? Lord, I can't wait till you return. Please let it be soon. It's got to be soon, right? I mean, if Melbourne has another earthquake, it's... We thought it was soon in that 75 days. I thought it was happening. But we think, we stand here 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years, looking at everyone else, thinking God only moves for them. God will do it for them. God will do it for pastors. God will do it for them, leaders and these people, but not for me. You know what my Bible says? That he is the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, there's nothing that is impossible for him, for those who believe. Come on, does anybody believe this morning? Come on, that your miracle's around the corner, that your miracle's not waiting for the afterlife, but right here and right now, amen? Come on, let's have mountain-moving faith. You know when you need that? Right now. You won't need it in heaven. You need it for today. Number five says, now, when he had said these things, says he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I can imagine people around thinking, what on earth is going on? Lazarus, come forth. He's shouting to an empty tomb. He's shouting to an empty grave. What on earth is he doing? But you know what he was doing? He wasn't just speaking to an empty tomb. No, he understood that his very words would pierce the atmosphere, that there was power in his words. Come on, do you know that there's power in your words today? There's power of life and death. It says here in Mark 11, 22, it says, so Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God. Man, we could stop right there and do a whole sermon series. Have faith in God. We could, can't we? We could. We have faith in everything else but God. Come on, we have faith in the news. Obviously not. That got no response at all. So. We have faith in Koshi. No one. We have faith in leaders in different systems and processes and governments. We have faith in all these different things, but the Word of God. We have faith, more faith in the lottery than we do the tithes and offerings. We have more faith, come on, in Chemist Warehouse than Jehovah Rapha. Their prices are unbeatable. I mean, they've got the buying power. I mean, they've got Zyrtec right now on special, 70-pack, $29.95. You can't get that anywhere else. We could stop right there. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you will have whatever you say. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you've received them and you will have them. Notice here that Jesus highlights two variables of declaration, what you say versus what you pray. Isn't it interesting that what we say and what we pray are sometimes two very different things? Oh, we come to the prayer meeting. Oh, hallelujah. God, send revival. Oh, God, I will die for the cause. I'll be a martyr. I want my kids to be just like Samuel's, little Samuel's, raise them in the... And then we walk out of here. You know, it's easy to criticize the area when you're in Melbourne, but we complain about the weather all the time. We walk out of here and what we say, oh, you kids, good for nothing. No one talks like that. It just must be where I live in the western suburbs, but nothing's ever good enough. You know, the weather's bad, this is bad, oh, I don't want to move here. In Melbourne, we had 50,000 people in lockdown move to Queensland. Beautiful one day, perfect the next. And then after a few days, they realise that they're the problem. And it goes with them everywhere they go. But we complain, we wake up in the morning. Oh no, not spring again. You know how my hay fever gets. You know, it's starting to build up right now, so speak about it. I'm about to sneeze. And we can't, give me some Zyrtec, you know. I know, you talk about it all the time. Oh, but the when it's cold in my back, oh yeah, I can barely move it. Yeah, I know, you keep saying it. But you should hear, oh, the migraines I have, I know. You haven't stopped telling me. The Bible says, speak to the mountain. Don't marry the mountain. So many of us took our mountains out on dates. We had a ceremony and everything. And we danced at the end. She'll be coming around the mountain when she goes. It's our favorite song every time it comes on. We went to Hawaii for our honeymoon. And we've got little baby mountains that we're raising. Bible never says to marry that mountain. Have you met people? They can't wait to explain to you their mountain, how big it is. It's amazing that they're even here today because of their mountain. Have you met my mountain? Look at it. It's amazing. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Come on, that mountain doesn't need to be in your life anymore. Come on, the Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue and you will eat of its fruit. It matters what you say today. Well, I'm afraid of my mountain. Last time I spoke to it, it flared up. It got worse, had an avalanche. And, you know, whatever you fear, you serve. Whatever you fear, you come under. You exalt, you lift up. That's why the Bible says, the beginning of all understanding is the fear of God. Because nothing on earth, no demon on earth or in hell, no sickness on earth, no disease on earth is worthy of your fear, except for God alone. He is the only one that's worthy of fear. Amen? Amen. Come on. Do you realize you have power? Oh man, is this guy a confession guy? Is he one of those positive confessions? Yes, I am. So the Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. That's the power of your confession today. That's the power of your words today. Let me tell you something. That's why you've been created today. Your language is not just for conversation. It's for creation. How do I know that? Because the very first thing God said is, let there be light. The very words that came out of his mouth were creative words. See, you got to understand something. The devil, he can't create anything because he is a creation. All he does is copy. Look at Exodus. Look at the plagues. He copies things. He doesn't create things. But he knows something about you. He knows that you're a person of faith. And if he can just get you to say it, he knows you'll create it. Your words carry power. If I could have the band come, that would be awesome. We just want to finish here. It says here, finally, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. I really believe this. Mountain moving faith comes when you remove the grave clothes today. Some of us keep continuing living our lives. Even though we're being healed, we're still hurt. We carry the grave clothes. We live our lives with the grave clothes. Still carry the smell of the past. Some of us have bought kayaks. We love every weekend going out for a trip to our favorite beach, the Sea of Forgetfulness. We paddle out there every week. We get there, we've got an anchor rope tied to our past. We pull it up, have a smell. Oh, yeah, it's still gross. It's rotten. It stinks. Yep, it's ugly. Yeah, it's no good. And we let it drop again for another few days. Then we paddle out again. We can't wait to just keep checking it again. Can't wait just to keep checking the grave clothes. Are they still there? Are they still rotten? Are they still ugly? Yeah, it is. It's filthy. That's why it's called the Sea of Forgetfulness. It's time to cut that anchor rope. Come on, it's time to cut those ties to the past. It's time to take off the grave clothes. Reminds me of Zechariah 3. Zechariah 3 is having a vision of Joshua the high priest, not Joshua Moses, Joshua the high priest. There he is standing before the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord says, take off the filthy garments. This is a picture of Christ. It's a picture of what God can do in your life. Take off the past. Take off the shame. And it says to give him rich royal robes. Come on, who's up for rich royal robes today? Clothe him in that. I love this. If you're a prophecy person, it's quite incredible because Zechariah pipes up. He has an idea. Do you know you can speak into your future? He says, give him a fresh turban. It's not just a clever hat. It's talking about a renewal of your mind, a transformation of your mind. He speaks into the destiny, speaks into the future of Joshua. Give him a new mindset. And this is what God wants to do in every single person's life. There's a transformation that takes place, a renewal of your mind. For some of us, it's been sickness, it's been disease, it's been holding us back. It's been the grave clothes, it's been the mountains. Some of us have just been living with these mountains, medicating them, treating them, doing the best we can. But I'm telling you today that there's an answer. His name is Jesus, and He can heal you. He can set you free today.
Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned for new messages weekly. You can keep updated on what's happening in the life of King's Church by following us on social media at King's Church GC. Be blessed.